Amen.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Go ahead and turn there. You can, well, you're already standing, so go ahead. Make you do some calf raises, some exercises. Okay. Do you remember what we, I know it's been like we've eaten and we've had about an hour, but do you remember what we dealt with in the first session? Three words. I'm going to tell you three words, biblical words. We're going to read the verse again, 1 Corinthians 7, and then, or chapter 7, verse 25, 24. There's a hint. Start, abide with God. That's what we dealt with. Abide with God. I can tell that first message went over well, and so we're going to try to do some repair work here. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 24. I want to read this, and you know, it's one thing, I really wanted to challenge you just to see the need. You need to abide with God. And now that we know there's a need for that, we all have that same need, whether you're, it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are tonight, we all need to abide with God. And tonight we're going to, in this session, we're going to look at, okay, how do we go about that? What does that look like in a practical sense? And so let's read the verse again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 24. Go ahead and read it with me. Follow, just read it as out loud as I read. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Okay, so we're going to consider that. What does it look like to abide with God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need your help again. Lord, I do thank you for Brother Auger's message to the men. Lord, just such a wonderful challenge. Lord, we need men to prepare. Lord, just to be ready for whatever you'd have for them and to do. And Lord, I thank you for that. I do pray now, as we're just going to be dealing with some practical truths, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, you'd help us to start to implement these basics so that we can abide with you. Lord, you desire that we would abide with you. That's why you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross, is because you wanted to reconcile us back to yourself so that we wouldn't, not so we would ignore you or only spend time with you once a week, but that we might fellowship with you daily, regularly. And so God, I pray that you bless now. Give me understanding and a clear mind, and I pray your Spirit would work in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. So the word abide, it's the, again, the Greek word is meno. And it's used 122 times throughout the New Testament, and it means to remain. It means to continue in an activity or state for a very extended period of time. It gives the picture of a permanent residence or a dwelling place, an abode, right? Abide, abode. That's not much of a stretch. I think we get that. And so you could say, if I just want you to get this in your mind, you could say you abide in the home or the apartment that you live in. You abide there. That's your abode. That's where you live. Regularly, consistently. You know, I cannot, the place that I abide is in Yakima, Washington. Okay? I do not abide in Missouri. Now, I have certain feelings about that. I'm going to keep them to myself. But I'm here temporarily. I don't abide here. I'm here right now, but that doesn't mean I'm abiding here. Okay? It's just a temporary thing. There's a difference. You know, often when I think of abiding, I think of the redwood trees in Northern California. I was talking to a brother from Eureka, California. My family and I, we went down to see the redwoods last summer. And I tell you what, those trees are incredible. I grew up in Kansas where there's just no trees, okay? And so to go from no trees to seeing these redwoods, I mean, some of them have been there, they say, 2,000 years. There were some, I remember we went to one of the largest trees. It's 300 and something feet tall and had to hike in there. And it was just incredible. I mean, we were walking. It was pretty windy that day. And I remember we have all our four kids and we're walking through and you hear this wind going through the very tops of the trees that are 300 feet above you. And you hear something break and you hear something start to fall. And that thing, I look behind about 100 feet back is something that I would call a tree hitting the ground, and it was just a little branch up at the top of these trees. I mean, these things have been there for a long time. They abide. They've been abiding there for a long time. That's what I think of when I think of abiding. That's what the biblical picture of abiding is. The opposite of abiding would be, if you could think of the opposite of a redwood tree, would be something I'm familiar with in my part of Washington. Most people think Washington State, it's all rainy and cloudy like Seattle, but we're on the desert side. We live right at the base of the mountains on the east side, and so I can go skiing and all of that, drive an hour up in the mountains, but in where I live, it's tumbleweeds. It's a desert. You know, you have to irrigate. Thankfully, I have irrigation water, so my yard is green, but the yard across is tumbleweeds. And the opposite of a redwood tree would be a tumbleweed, right? A tumbleweed, you think about it, it has one growing season. It looks good for a little bit. It's green. And then come fall, come first freeze, it dies, and then it ends up in your yard and you have to clean them all up. Okay. That's the opposite of abiding. Yeah. There's a big difference between something that abides and something that's temporary. And the more I thought about that, the difference between trees and tumbleweeds, that applies to your and I, our Christian walks, our walk with God. There's a big difference between Christians who abide in God and Christians who just temporarily meet with God. You see it in the evidence of their life. You know, a Christian who's only temporarily meeting with God, they're like a tumbleweed. We would never like to think of ourselves that way, but you know, it grows for the Christian. They look good for a little bit. They're excited. They come to church. It's like things are growing. Things are green. But as soon as life starts to heat up and trials start to come and difficulties start to come or distractions start to come, they wither, die, and blow away. And they're gone. And they're in the world. And you know, as a pastor, I'm like, well, they came to church. They were in church just like this other person. And so I know what this person is going through. This person has cancer and yet they're still faithful to church. And this person stubbed their toe and they're out of church. Yeah. There's a difference. And what's the difference? Well, it's one of them's abiding in the Lord and one's not. You know, a Christian who's abiding in the Lord, they're like a redwood tree. They're, as the Bible puts it in Psalm 1, they're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, they grow, they keep growing. When life heats up, they don't wither, they don't get discouraged. When the storms rage and blow in their life, they stay planted. When the winds of doctrine blow, they stay faithful. They stay true to the Word of God. And through the course of life, even though life may be difficult at times, they enjoy God's favor, they enjoy God's blessing. They enjoy the blessings of God that the Christian who only temporarily meets with God never enjoys. There's such a difference. And I'm in my 10th year of pastoring and I've seen the difference. And I was thinking about, based on the fact that you're here at a conference like this tonight, I think it's safe to assume that you would rather be like a redwood tree, not a tumbleweed. Okay. Amen. Do we have any takers? Anyone like, you know, my aspiration in life is to be like a tumbleweed. Okay. No, I think we want to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. Yeah. We want to abide in the Lord. And tonight, I want to give you four essentials to abiding with God. So, Brother Mason had encouraged to take notes. I want to encourage you to take notes. Here's four essentials to abiding with God, and they're obviously from the Word of God. It's not exhaustive by any means, but I believe it's a start. These are fundamentals. And if you will implement these in your day-to-day life, you will be someone who is abiding in the Lord. So first, abiding with God begins with a diligent pursuit. Abiding with God begins with a diligent pursuit. That's where it starts. So let's look at John chapter number 1, if you would. Turn over to John chapter number 1. Again, I do want to stick to the Word of God. This isn't just what Brother Hadley has come up with. This is just what God's Word says. So let's look at John chapter number 1. See a great example of men who were diligently seeking, pursuing to abide with the Lord. John chapter 1, verse number 35 says, "Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God." John the Baptist was not one to talk. He just preached all the time, okay? Everything ends with exclamation points. Verse 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi," which is to say being interpreted master, "where dwellest thou?" Same word as abide, minnow. "Where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." I love the words of the Savior. He said, "Oh, you want to come? Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and look at the word there, abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. See, based on the example of Andrew, and I believe the other one was John, these apostles, they show that if you're going to abide with the Lord, you have to diligently seek him. You have to put in effort. Abiding in the Lord is not just going to happen. It's not just going to start happening on a Sunday morning. It's something that you have to desire. And truly, just walking through some of these verses, if you're going to seek the Lord, if you're going to diligently seek the Lord, you have to have a desire to get to know God personally. You have to have a desire to get to know him personally, right? Andrew and John, they heard what John the Baptist said. Behold the Lamb of God. Okay? They heard that. And they didn't just say, oh, that's nice. Well, my preacher said he's the Lamb of God. Man, my preacher's smart. No, they didn't just stop there. What did they do? They wanted to get to know Jesus for themselves. They wanted to get to know him personally, and so they started to seek him out. And if you're going to seek the Lord, you have to have a desire in your heart to know him personally, to know him intimately. I want you to get this. The Lord is not just like a force. He's not the force. Okay? He's not just a topic. He's not just a subject of theology. He is a real person. He's the original person. And the reason you are a person is because of him. And he wants you to seek him like he seeks you. He daily seeks you. He seeks you like a lost sheep. The Lord seeks. The reason we can even seek him is because he first sought us. You ought to want to seek him personally and get to know him. He's your God. He's your creator. He's your redeemer, your savior, your Lord. He's your comforter. He's your sustainer. And there's a lot longer list that I could give. But you ought to have that desire to get to know him personally. Do you know him? There's a lot of Christians that grow up in church and they know about him, but they don't know him. You ought to want to know him personally. And I tell you what, there's no better person to get to know. Yeah. If you're going to seek the Lord like the disciples, you have to put him ahead of other relationships. Right? We see that John and Andrew and John, they left John the Baptist behind. See ya. Like, they're just leaving John the Baptist behind because they want to go to get to know the Lord and Savior, and they want to spend time with Jesus. And so I want to challenge you with this. If you're going to diligently seek the Lord, you have to put him ahead of other relationships. Even ahead of my boyfriend? Yes. Even ahead of my girlfriend? Yes. You need to put him first. Seek him first. Yeah. And that means at times you're going to have to say no to other relationships. Yeah. You know, prioritize him. Yeah. There's a reason why one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He's to come first. Also, if you're going to seek the Lord diligently, you need to be willing to stay a while. You need to be willing to stay a while with the Lord. Andrew and John, that says they abode with him that day, and that's likely from 10 a.m. to sundown. I know in the Gospels you have the Jewish rendering of time that started at sunrise to sunset, and based on John's usage of time in John chapter 19, likely what it's talking about, it's not talking about 4 in the afternoon, it's talking about 10 in the morning. They were there the whole day. Could you imagine just reading your Bible and praying for an entire day? I'd get bored. Well, if you're going to diligently seek the Lord, you have to be willing to stay a while. If you're going to seek the Lord, you cannot be in a rush. Microwave Christianity does not work. If you're going to abide in the Lord, you have to be willing to stay a while. There's going to be times where hearing from God and knowing you've been with God, it takes a while. A lot of times, you have to get through your routines. The Lord lets you get through your routine Bible reading and your routine prayer life so that you can really start meeting with him. It takes a while. And you have to, if you're going to seek him, you have to be willing to stay a while. If you're going to abide with God, it's going to take a diligent pursuit. The second main point here tonight, abiding with God requires time in his word. And again, these are very basic things. They're fundamentals. But abiding with God, it requires time in the word. Look over at Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. You look over there. Psalm chapter number one. I want to be practical tonight. I want to be a help to you. I wish I would have listened better to my preacher growing up, because I know he preached these things, but I was too dumb to listen. Yeah. Psalm chapter number one, and then verse number one. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the," what's the next four words? "Law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So if you're gonna abide with God, you have to spend time in his word. It just makes sense. So if you're gonna abide with someone, you have to be willing to listen to them talk. You want it to be a dialogue, not a monologue, okay? So if you're going to spend time in His Word, first, you need to reject the noise of the world. If you're going to spend time in the Word of God, you need to reject the noise of the world, right? Verse number one, "Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." If you're going to read your Bible like you should, you're going to have to turn down the noise of the world. What do I mean by that? You're going to need to put your phone down. It is good just to have a good old-fashioned print Bible. I know you can read the Bible on your phone, but you'll get notifications and texts and everything else, and the world, the loud volume of the world, it's going to distract you. You need to be willing to turn the noise down, be willing to set the phone aside, be willing to set aside social media. You need to reject the noise if you're going to be in the Word. Also, those who spend time in the Word, they do so eager to hear from the Lord. Notice it's the law of the Lord. I think we get this, sometimes we get this a little muddled and confused. The reason you read your Bible is not so you can fill your head with information. The reason you read your Bible is not so that you can just check a box on your reading plan for the year. The reason you read the Bible, the reason you read the Word of the living God, is so that you can hear from the living God. The reason we read our Bible is so we can hear from God. The truth is, when you read your Bible, you need to do so intent on hearing from God. And I'll challenge you with this. You need to keep reading your Bible until you do hear from God. I know every word in this book is from the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is from God. But the truth is, there's times where you know you're just reading words on a page, and you're not hearing the voice of God. You need to keep reading the Bible until you know God is speaking to your heart. Because God does not simply want your mind, He wants your heart. I remember talking to my boy the other day. I always preach at my kids at night when I tuck them in. Oh boy. I'm going to hear stories when they're older. "Dad, you always used to preach at us for about 20 minutes before you let us go to bed." But I was telling him, his name's Jude. He's a funny kid. I said, "You know, Jude, Mom and Dad, we want you to learn to hear from God." He's like, "You've heard Him?" "Yes. Yeah, I have." And Jude, God doesn't, just like we can't see God, but He's still there. God, He doesn't speak to our ears. He speaks to our heart. And I said, "Jude, I'm praying that you'll learn that one day. And when you hear Him speak to your heart, you'll know the difference." And the truth is, you ought to read your Bible until you know you've heard from God. Yeah. Okay. Also, those who spend time in the Word, they meditate on it. They meditate on the Word. How do you meditate on the Word? Do you sit crisscross on top of a mountain going, "Hum"? No. I'm from Washington. We got a lot of people like that, okay? I'll tell you what, I've met some strange people. They're in the Midwest, but they're in the Northwest. Okay. How do you meditate on the Word of God? You memorize the Word of God. You memorize it. The word meditate literally means to mutter, means to speak under your breath. Here's a good picture. If you've been to, for those of you who maybe have been to Bible college, it's 7:30 in the morning when people are walking to class, last minute memorizing their verses. Yeah, I remember being there. You're trying to memorize the verse for your verse quiz. Yeah. But if you're going to meditate on the Word of God, you need to memorize Scripture. You need to memorize it. You need to mull it over in your mind over and over again. Really, you're reading the Word of God. You know you're reading the Word of God right when the Word of God sticks with you that whole day. I want to challenge you, if you don't keep a journal, maybe I recommend you start keeping a devotion journal. I've kept one since 2016. And I want to encourage you, start a journal in a very simple way. What did God speak to you about in the verses you read? What verse stuck out in your mind? What verse stuck out? What verse did He use to speak to your heart? Write it down. Write that verse down. I still do that to this day. I write the Scriptures down, and I don't just copy and paste it onto my Word document. I type it out, or I write it down. Why? Because I want to have that word, that verse that the Lord gave me that morning, I want to have it in my heart and in my mind. And 10 times out of 10, the Lord knows I need that verse, and I don't know why I need it entirely, but the Lord knows about 6 hours later I'm going to need it. And so I want to encourage you, if you're reading the Word of God like you should, you need to meditate on it. You need to memorize it. See, if you're going to abide with God, it's going to take time in His Word. It's going to take time in His Word. Third point tonight. Abiding with God requires time in prayer. Requires time in prayer. And again, you've heard all of this before. Okay, read my Bible and pray every day and go to church. Yes, you need to pray, but not just pray. You need to actually spend time in prayer. Look over at Mark chapter 1. This is always a convicting passage for me to read, even as a pastor. Look at Mark chapter 1 and then verse number 35. See the example of our Savior. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He," speaking of Jesus, "went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed, and Simon and they that were with Him followed after Him." See, Jesus, His time, His dedication to that time with the Father and in prayer, that it teaches us that abiding with God requires prayer. It takes time in prayer. And based on the example of Christ, those who spend time in prayer, first, they make time to pray. Now get the words right. They make time to pray. "Oh, I just don't have time to pray." Well, make time. Make time. Make time to pray.
"Well, I'm busy."
You weren't as busy as Jesus. If you read chapter number 1, Jesus beginning His earthly ministry, He's healing He's healing mother-in-laws. I mean, He's doing things that He's teaching, He's doing all the work. I mean, He's busy, busy, busy. He gets done teaching in the synagogue, and He gets home, and you'd think He'd want to sit down and eat some food. After preaching, I want to sit down and eat food and then be a saint. I want to take a nap. All right, Sunday afternoon is nap time, okay? That's what I want to do. But Jesus, in this passage, He gets done teaching and preaching, and He's healing mother-in-laws instead of eating. I mean, He's busy, busy. He had a busy, busy day, and yet He's up a great while before the day, so that He could go commune with God, with His Heavenly Father. You need to make time to pray. Don't allow the busyness of school or work or your ministries to keep you from the place of prayer. You need to make time for it. The only way you're going to be successful amid a busy schedule is if you start it with prayer. You're not ready for the day until you pray. You're not ready for the day until you pray. And spend time in prayer. John Bunyan, I like what he said. He said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." Make time for prayer. Also, those who spend time in prayer, they set aside a specific time to pray. Right? You need to make time to pray, and if you're making time to pray, you need to have a set aside time to pray. A specific time to pray. For Jesus, it was a great while before the day. Do you want to know roughly what that would be on a 24-hour day? 4 a.m. Four in the morning. Jesus had a long day of ministry and He's up at 4 a.m. Why? So that He can pray. Why did He get up so early? Well, there's fewer distractions in the morning. Those of you with kids, you know. your heart is less burdened with the busyness of the day. It's the best time for spiritual nourishment. Doctors say the best meal for you is breakfast. That's the time when your body is able to process the most nutrients and the most energy is in the morning. It's breakfast. And I believe that's true spiritually. The best time to really nourish yourself spiritually is in the morning, and spending time in prayer in the morning. You know, as best you can, I want to encourage you to set aside time in the morning for prayer. And you may, your hours at work may be really weird, but I want to challenge you, set aside a time, a specific planned time every day to pray. One man said this, he said, "We need individuals who will be more interested in ministry than the mattress, power than the pillow, righteousness than rest, and more surrender than more sleep." Yeah. You're not ready for the day until you pray. So set aside a time to pray. And then also those who spend time in prayer, they have a specific place to pray. You see, Jesus, where did he go? He went to a solitary place. He went to a solitary place to pray. He was practicing what he preached in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, "When you go into thy closet and thou hast shut the door, then pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and he shall reward thee openly." Right? There was a secret place. There was a place that was solitary. You ought to have a solitary place to pray. As young adults, that's pretty easy to find, to be honest. It's easy to find. I want to encourage you to commune with God without distraction. You know, the Lord, he taught us, and I got to hurry, but the Lord, he taught us that when he says, when you have entered into thy closet, and he says this, you can read it in Matthew 6, and when thou hast shut the door. It's like the Lord Jesus had to add that part. Why? Because he knows when we pray and we enter into the prayer closet, he knows that we have a tendency to leave our hand on the door handle and say, "Okay, Lord, I got stuff, I got to get to work. I got to get to school. Can you do this for me? And can you do this for me? And I really need help with this. And oh yeah, that person needed this. So can you take care of that? Okay, Lord, bye." That's often how we are. We leave our hand on the door handle. We don't shut the door. Why? Because we're in a rush. And that's why Jesus said, "When thou hast shut the door, then pray." See, I want to encourage you, take time to pray. Spend time in prayer with the Lord. Don't be in a rush. Don't be in a rush. Make time to pray. If you're going to abide with God, it's going to take time in prayer. Okay, then the last point here tonight is this. Abiding with God requires obeying the Spirit's leading. It requires obeying the Spirit's leading. And I think this is one of the big struggles. It's one thing to pray. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to start putting it into practice. Look over at 1 John. 1 John and chapter number 2. And I don't know, I might change what I'm going to preach tomorrow. But look at 1 John chapter number 2. It's not because Brother Alger is preaching what I was going to preach. I'm sensing the Lord may be leading some other direction. So look at 1 John chapter number 2 and then verse number 6. Again, abiding with God requires obeying the Spirit's leading. Verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." In other words, you can't just say, "I prayed," and say, "I read my Bible and I'm abiding." No. You now need to walk as he walked. Okay, now look over at chapter 2 and then verse number 27. Verse number 27. It says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." What is this talking about? Well, the anointing there refers to the Holy Spirit of God. The anointing, the fact is, when you got saved, God himself, in the third person of the Trinity, took up residence in your heart. Whether you like it or not, God is there. That's why the most miserable people on earth are backslidden Christians, because they can't get away from God. We know truly no one can, but God's still living in their heart. The truth is, The anointing here is talking about the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer. And if you're going to abide in the Lord, you have to obey the leading of the Spirit. You have to obey His leading. It's not enough to just know Bible truth. It's not enough just to be religious and have your prayer routines and dress the part and look the part. The Pharisees looked the part. The Pharisees knew more Bible than we know. And yet they were about as dead spiritually as a coffin. No, the truth is, if you're going to really abide with the Lord, you have to be sensitive to and obey the Spirit's leading. Yeah. See, the Lord, by His Spirit, He'll teach you all you need to know when you need to know it. It's up for you to listen and obey. I think that's a struggle, especially for young adults, for young Christians, to truly understand what it means to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, I want to challenge you. And by the way, I think if you're saved, you know when the Lord is speaking to your heart. When you know when that still small voice is speaking to your heart about something you need to get right, or He's trying to encourage you when you're discouraged. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Okay, some of you. I want to encourage you. If you're really going to abide in the Lord, you have to obey when He leads. When the Lord wakes you up off your pillow and says, "Hey, lazy bones, read your Bible," what should you do? Read your Bible. When He tells you, "Hey, before," I've been here before. When He tells you, "You better not get up and stop. You better not get up and leave this prayer closet." I've been there where I'm like, "Lord," I've done my prayer time. When the Lord tells you, "You better stay a while longer," you need to be sensitive to His leading and obey His leading and keep praying and keep talking with the Lord. You need to be sensitive to Him. You need to obey His leading. When He encourages you to step out by faith, be like David, gonna slay Goliath. When he encourages you to step out by faith, you need to obey His leading. When He tells you to share the gospel with that coworker and to bring up faith and to talk to them about church and to talk to them about Christ, go ahead and obey His leading. You cannot say you're abiding in the Lord if you're not following His leading. He abides with you because He indwells you, but you're not abiding with Him. If you're really going to abide with God, it's going to take obeying His Spirit's leading. And that's what I love. In fact, I might preach this later, but we'll see. The truth is, the Holy Spirit of God, He will teach you, and this is so comforting, He'll teach you everything you need to know, but He'll only teach you it when you need to know it. Well, that just seems so hard. Well, that's why you have to be sensitive to His leading. You have to be listening, and you have to be obeying. You need to listen and obey when the Spirit leads if you're going to abide in the Lord. So you can abide with God by diligently pursuing Him, giving time to His Word, giving time to prayer, and obeying His Spirit's leading. And so the question is, will you? You have a choice to make. Will you determine to abide in God? God forbid that you come to a conference like this and you end up leaving here, and this conference was just simply a time where you temporarily met with God a little bit more than normal. And your life looks no different than a tumbleweed. It breaks my heart, because as I've been in the ministry, I've been pastoring, I've seen people just like you, young adults just like you, who they never really learned how to abide with God. And they never really chose to abide with God. And so when life started to get difficult, they gave up just like that. They were just like a tumbleweed. They didn't stick and stay. They gave up. And here's the deal. It's not like they found a better life. Their lives are miserable. Their lives are messed up. Why? Because they just settled on temporarily meeting with God. I want to challenge you. You need to learn to abide with God. You need to be in prayer. You need to be in the Word. You need to seek Him diligently. You need to be sensitive and obedient to His leading. Yeah. And if you'll do that, you'll get to be like a redwood tree. You're going to be like the tree of Psalm chapter number 1. Your leaf, it shall not fade. It shall not wither. You, even when it gets hot, even when life gets hard, you're still there enjoying the favor of God. You're still there under the blessings, under the spout where the blessings come out. You're still enjoying God's blessings in your life. Life's not perfect, but you're at peace. Why? Because you're abiding in the Lord. Yeah. See, God, He is inviting you to abide with Him. I love what He said to James and to John and Andrew. He said, when they said, "Where dwellest thou?" He said, "Come and see." I believe the Lord says that to each of us. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to abide with Him. And He's ready. He's ready to meet. Will you choose to meet with Him? Will you abide with Him? Whether or not you abide with Him will make a drastic difference in your life. You'll either be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, or you'll be like the chaff with which the wind driveth away. You'll be like a tumbleweed. Let's pray.